there's a lot of just stories and narratives around why we can't get a teacher yet, or why we can't get help, or why we can't start or do the thing. And we think this is the problem with 2018, Stephanie, and like being unconscious is like we believe our stories. And this is why you need a coach.
Yes.
Because that's really what a coach does, is to call you out and be like, hey, yo, actually, that story isn't true. And you are going to feel so much better in your life if you question your story versus just believing it and then going about your day. Welcome back to the Magic of Transformation podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Zeller. Today on the show, I have Morgan Zeller, my soul sister and sister-in-law. This is the second episode that I am doing with Morgan. I've received such tremendous, amazing feedback from many of you regarding our last episode, Struggling to Shine. So many of you have reached out and told me that you love it. So be sure to keep tuning in because there are many more episodes with Morgan still to come. In the show notes below, I have episodes that you should listen to next. I have a link to courses that I mention in this episode. You can find all of my courses at thetransformationschool.com. If you enjoy this podcast, you would definitely, definitely enjoy my courses. That's really where we get to dig in and you actually see deep transformation in your life. You see happiness, you see joy, you see confidence, you see manifestations. That's what I'm here for, to help you live your dream life. But it does take a process and a method, and I have those things worked out for you. So check out all of my courses at thetransformationschool.com. If you enjoy this podcast, be sure to leave me a 5-star review wherever you listen, and don't forget to follow or subscribe to the show so you don't miss future episodes. Without further ado, enjoy today's episode on finding a coach or spiritual teacher.
Today's topic is pretty controversial between you and me. I think we have not always agreed on it, but it's, do I need a spiritual teacher?
That's interesting that you think that we have. I'm so curious about your perspective.
Okay, I'll get to that. I'll explain. So I started looking up what a spiritual teacher could also be called. I put them in two boxes. One is words that I associate with a spiritual teacher, and the other are words that I feel are pretty negative that I would not want, but that still are used. So when I hear the words mentor, elder, guide, coach, facilitator, advisor, counselor, I like all of those. Where it gets negative to me is a guru, a shaman, unless you are a shaman and you aren't appropriating a priestess or a priest. And then I came across healer and light worker. And I think that doesn't tell me that you are going to guide me in any way. Anchor, trainer. So when I was thinking of all of these words, it really hit me that anyone can call themselves a spiritual teacher. And what I was gravitating towards that I, for years, really wanted to call in was a guide or an elder to show me the way or to like infuse their wisdom that they have already acquired. And so then I looked at it and I thought, okay, well, I'm really attracted to having a teacher who is older than me, like significantly, who has traditions and teachings that are passed down. But that doesn't need to be what a spiritual teacher is. And then I look at you, and you have been a spiritual teacher for me. My breathwork facilitator has been a spiritual teacher for me. So it gets tricky when we're talking about what is a spiritual teacher. I have a friend recently who was like, I'm looking for a spiritual teacher. And I was like, well, are you looking for like someone to teach you tarot? Are you looking for someone to teach you astrology? Are you looking for someone to help you on your transformation journey? are you, you know, like what are you looking for? And it's all so vague. And so I wanted to chat with you about it and just figure out what do people really need and what do they not need at all? Because when it comes down to it, we all know, or we should know, that a teacher, a spiritual teacher, is just guiding us back to our inner knowing, our inner self. They're illuminating what we already are, right? So how would you describe it?
There's that parable of the man that goes looking for gold like all around the world, and then he finally discovers that it was buried in his backyard the whole time. And yes. So just like you said, ultimately the purpose of a spiritual teacher is to guide you back to your own inner wisdom, your inner knowing, and the truth of your essential nature of like who you really are. So I'm curious what you think. I think.
So years ago, I remember this was probably like 2018, 2019. I remember talking to you and saying, you know, I really want to find a spiritual teacher, a guide, someone to show me how to do these things. And by things, I mean the woo-woo parts of spirituality. So divination and witchcraft and all of those components. And you kept saying to me, Morgan, you don't need one. You don't need a teacher.
Okay, that's really interesting.
And you were like, you just need to be more confident in who you are because you already know how to do those things. And I remember getting frustrated and being like, Stephanie, that's so nice that you think that about me, but I don't know what I'm doing and I need a teacher.
So I would say a yes and to 2018, Stephanie, who advised you of that. When I think back to 2018, I had done a significant amount of like therapy in my life and I had been on a spiritual seeking path, although it was confined to like mysticism and it wasn't along the same path that I'm on now of, I guess you would say, enlightenment and consciousness. And I don't actually adhere to a particular type of spirituality. I'd say maybe the closest one is Buddhism, but it's like, for the most part, I just believe we're all one. But I had not at that time recognized, I mean, I'm talking like 2017, early 2018, that was prior to me recognizing how unconscious I was and how many patterns I was living in. And I was not as evolved as I thought I was. Let me just put it like that. So I think there was a part of me at that time that was like, trust yourself, because that's what I do. I trust myself. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say the yes and, because you in particular, even to this day, don't trust in your abilities and you don't trust yourself, I think, as much as you should. So that's why it's a yes and. I think teachers are wonderful and you could also trust yourself more and just take leaps to build that kind of inner trust muscle.
Yeah.
So I think it's a yes and. But today, as I said, I think teachers are, I would say, almost 100% necessary.
Right. For some things.
I mean, well, so instead of it being four things,
yeah,
I actually think it's based on where you're at on the journey. So if you have done a lot of inner child work, shadow work, pattern work, subconscious reprogramming work, then you're not operating from an automatic place and you have a greater capacity to see truth. But if you haven't done subconscious programming work, if you haven't done kind of internal family systems, inner child work or shadow work, Jungian work, and I'm not talking about just talk therapy because that doesn't do it, unfortunately.
And you're not talking about just reading it.
And I'm not, yeah. And I'm 100%, 1,000,000,000 yeah. percent not talking about just reading it in books. Like knowledge does not equal wisdom.
Right.
So if you're at that stage of your journey where you really haven't done a lot of reflecting on like your childhood and healing of that, then you 100% need a teacher in literally almost everything you do. And I say this from experience. I needed a teacher. I've had dozens of teachers at this point.
So another part of this, another reason that I brought up this topic with you is because around that same time that we were talking about, 2018-ish, you had a teacher.
Yes.
A group.
Yes.
Kind of. And
a coach.
A coach, right? Mm-hmm. And I, as an outsider, like you would tell me about it, you know, we would talk about your meetings and whatever. I could see that you did not need them. Like,
yeah. So, well, when I first started, I had a coach in 2008. She was my first coaching experience. And we did a little thing. It was more one-on-one in a program she was running about kind of career stuff. And she was actually excellent when we did that one-on-one. And I learned so much. And actually, I think it really laid the groundwork for the kind of work that I do now in terms of even showing me what was possible. Like, I didn't understand what a coach was. I had always been in therapy my whole life because of childhood trauma, but I had never actually had a coach. And a coach is so different. Like, a good coach is so different from a therapist. They bring so much more to light. It usually moves so much faster. There just tends to be more energy in like a coaching client relationship. And she was noticing all of these things that were like fascinating to me. I was like, how did she know that? And she was super awesome. Then she invited me into a group dynamic with other women. And there was like another coach coming in. And that was a more of a spiritual journey that we were going to go on with that. And there was a shift there where a lot of things played into it, like a lot. But instead of lifting me up, she started tearing me down. In that dynamic, she told me, don't practice your spiritual gifts with other people. Don't talk to other people in the group. It started feeling like a really toxic vibe to me. There was a lot of suppression going on. And I would say within like, it was like a 9 or 10 month thing. And I think in month four, I left because my intuition guided me to it and it was feeling very toxic. And I talked with you a lot around that time. And this is it was such an interesting dynamic because she was such a great coach for me at first. Mm-hmm. And then it actually turned into a similar thing around like a similar pattern as we were talking about in the last episode, which was like, suddenly there was like a competitive vibe because for the listeners that don't know, I'm very psychic. I have a lot of gifts and those came online and I was talking to other people in the group. And there was like a lot of all of a sudden tension with the coach. And it just, again, like a lot of things played into it, but I suddenly felt like she actually didn't want to see me shine. And she was suppressing my light. And also, like, to be totally fair, there were things that I still wasn't aware of at that time. Like, I was still very codependent. I was in a bit of like, I want to be recognized energy. And she did not have the skills to lovingly guide me through that. She instead was unloving. And I felt the unloving and I felt that she didn't know how to work with me. And so I left. And that's important. Like, it's important when we're working with any kind of spiritual teacher to have discernment. And, or any teacher at all, like therapists too, because a lot of people will go to really terrible therapists.
Yes.
And so it's like trusting that gut instinct of like, does this feel good in my body to work with this person? And there's a difference between it can feel hard, like challenging, like, ooh, this person's calling me out on my shit. And that's hard. Like, that's one thing. But when someone's like quieting you and not wanting to see you shine, you can feel that in your body. And that's a toxic dynamic.
And that's how people get caught up in the guru type of relationship.
100%.
So what are some qualities you think that show that someone is healthy? And also, then I want to come back to, when is it time to move on? Right? Like, as you transform, your mind will be opened to other aspects. It's like, you're not going to stay in first grade forever.
I wouldn't even consider it necessarily like a, well, you're leveling up, so you need to move on. Sometimes it's just like, okay, I've kind of maxed out on what this person offers.
Right.
And it's not so much like I'm now more evolved than them and they can't help me. It's more so like I want additional tools. And so now I'm going to go here and then I'm going to go here. So when it comes to a spiritual teacher, a coach, again, even a therapist, a shaman, in any kind of person, one, I would say, I think honestly, the most important thing is just, do you vibe with them? Is there a energetic flow between you? Do you feel good with them? And do they embody what they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel it in their body?
Do they practice what they preach?
100%. Yeah. And you know, it's like, I just recently had my Rolfer on the podcast, and this is one reason why I had him on, because he was so embodied. He was like one of the most embodied people that I've ever worked with. And I told him this, like, I've worked with a lot of body workers that were not embodied, meaning like they were very dysregulated. They weren't attuned to my body. Whereas he was so attuned to my body. It's like, he had an intuitive connection to it, and he was so deeply in his body, and I could feel that. Now, I feel like when people first start looking for teachers, you're not used to reading the energy and feeling into your own body and knowing what that feels like. So I think the main thing to just ask yourself is like, does this feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel good with this person? And do I trust them?
Yes.
Like, do I trust this person? And you do not have to have a logical reason why you trust someone or not. Because I think what we do so frequently is we're like, well, this person's so credentialed, or this person had so many, there were so many recommendations for this person and blah, blah, blah. But then deep down, you're not actually trusting them, but then you're convincing yourself out of it because of all their things. And it's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You just need to ask yourself, like, do I trust this person? And do I feel good with them? Do I feel like I can learn from them? Then I think if you can say yes to both of those things, it's likely a good fit.
Another thing I was just thinking about is, it doesn't necessarily have to be the teacher you were looking for. Like what I said earlier, I spent years wanting this teacher figure, this mentor, to walk into my life. And then last year, I did a lot of work on myself after an injury, and I realized, oh my gosh, I have all of these teachers now. And none of them were people who I thought were going to be my teachers.
I think they rarely are.
Right.
I think a lot of times the teachers we end up with are rarely what we thought it was going to be. And I like what you just said, because I think also sometimes we picture one person encompassing all the things that we want to learn, when what ends up happening is we have like five or six teachers. I mean, when I was seeing that coach in 2018, I also was seeing a somatic experiencing practitioner. I was also doing EMDR therapy. I was also doing Feldenkrais. Like, I had like four or five people that were helping me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my clients, you know, are also in therapy, or some of them also have like other spiritual teachers. So yeah, I think multiple people to get different angles is a healthy thing.
So what you're saying is someone who can show us how to do the practicing and who has done the practicing themselves. And I think I've kind of narrowed it down to also someone who has the structure, because I think that is what I was looking for. I wasn't necessarily looking for someone to go, okay, this is your vocabulary list. You know, you can find that information by researching. I needed someone to give me the structure.
Like the process.
The process, exactly. And I think that is what you do such a great job of. And it's funny because now, like years later, looking back, you did help me get that structure, even though we were just talking through everything we were doing.
Probably like my strongest gift is creating a how and a process to do anything, but especially things that have to do with personal transformation or spirituality. Like, well, getting to any next level with anything, I can create a process for it. It's like, I honestly think that's probably my biggest gift. It's just so intuitive to me. I'm like, oh, you want to get to the next level here? This is what you have to do. And that can include like manifesting or strengthening your skills or your gifts or wanting to be happier, whatever it is. Like I can give you an exact process for how to get to that level. That's just like, somehow I know exactly what people need to do. And then I've created tools to facilitate that. I'm like, okay, hey, here's a tool I'm going to give you. You're going to do this XYZ. You're going to do it exactly like this. And then you're going to get to the next level. And I think that is, first of all, there's different kinds of coaches, right? There's coaches that will just talk to you and tell you to read books. I think more of what I do is a facilitator and course creator. I mean, that those are the biggest transformative aspects of what I do. And in fact, when I was just coaching people one-on-one, I was like, this is not going fast enough. I need to give you a process.
Yeah.
I want to give you the how exactly. And that's why I started creating my courses. But I also think when I think to really good spiritual teachers, that's what they'll do as well. Even if you were to like go to a teacher, like a meditation teacher, they're going to tell you exactly, like they're going to give you the structure. I think good teachers in any way, that's what they do. They give you the how. And that's what podcasts and books don't do.
Yes.
And that's the biggest confusion with people. Like people think, and I was on this train, this was me in 2018 telling you, you don't need a teacher, because I had read thousands of books and I thought I knew it all because I had just read those books. And I was like, in my head, I was like, just listen to the podcast, read the books, like what, like just figure it out. At that time, I had not actualized my gift of finding the process because I hadn't even done like the basic work that I needed to even understand how to create a process. Like all my processes come on the back end, meaning like I stumble, do a bunch of things, figure something out. I do it. I embody it. I succeed at it. Then I create the process to make it go faster for other people so they don't have to struggle in the way that I did. But in 2018, I thought I had all the answers because I was reading all the books. It's so hard to convince someone of this. It's so hard to convince someone that works out, meditates, and goes to talk therapy and listens to a lot of podcasts and reads a lot of books. It's so hard to convince that person that there's more.
Mm-hmm.
That like they're missing something. And I get it, because that was me in 2017-18. I didn't think there was more. I thought I knew what all those people were talking about. And then when I finally started working with practitioners that were very good at the how, I realized like, oh my God, there is a whole, I mean, like I was dead asleep. And that's after like
so much work,
20 years of talk therapy. Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about why one does need a teacher. So then I want to talk about I'm neurodivergent. I have extremely, I don't want to say severe, but I have ADHD for sure. And, I get in my head, I live in my head, and it is very easy. And I'm a perfectionist. So those things together, I have analysis paralysis, and I need for things to be perfect before I do them. And it's like, I've got to have all the stuff. I've got to have like, oh, well, I have to read that book before I do this. Or I have to have, oh, I don't have a pendulum. I need a pendulum before I can do this. For listeners that don't know, I am a witch and I do spells. And that's where you were extremely helpful in telling me, just do it. You can just do it. But like, I do get very hung up on, well, I need all of these things in order to do it right.
For somebody that doesn't practice witchcraft, a way that that would feel relatable to them is like, I can't start therapy until I have more time in my work schedule, or I can't learn what my intuition is because I'm already too busy with XYZ, or there's a lot of just stories and narratives around why we can't get a teacher yet, or why we can't get help, or why we can't start or do the thing. And we think this is the problem with 2018, Stephanie, and like being unconscious is like, we believe our stories, and this is why you need a coach.
Yes.
Because that's really what a coach does, is to call you out and be like, hey, yo, actually, that story isn't true. And you are going to feel so much better in your life if you question your story versus just believing it and then going about your day.
So let's say there's a listener out there who is listening to this and maybe is not on a spiritual journey, but is on one of opening themselves up to consciousness, to self-transformation. And they think, well, I don't do any of that stuff. Like, I don't even know where to start. Where could someone start to look for a teacher who could help them get started on that path of self-transformation?
Obviously, I think they should all come to me. I mean, I'm not just saying that facetiously. I mean, I'm saying that literally, because the first course that I ever created is called Transform Foundations. And it's like a baseline of here's how you actually transform. In that course, there's nervous system regulation. What is a dysregulated nervous system? Why does that happen? And how do you regulate it? And I give actual tools for regulating it. And then we talk about what are patterns? What am I not aware of that's happening? What are self-limiting beliefs? And then how can I actually, like, here are tools to actually change all of them. Here are tools and a process to actually grow your confidence and to grow your self-love. So it's like, I literally built that course for the me that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I had done 20 years of therapy, literally. And I had done meditating and working out and all of that. And it was like, I was not as happy as I wanted to be in my life. I was anxious a lot. My ADHD at that time was really bad. I had like analysis paralysis. I was still like doing a lot of things in the world, but I was overthinking about them all the time. And so it was like something was off in my life. I had no idea where to start. That's who I built this course for. And the reason I did that is because I fucking wish so bad I had it. Like, I wish I had that course, because it would have given me all of the sort of the baseline of like, here's how you get into this world of actual transformation and liberation, where you can really unlock your potential and live your best life.
A blueprint.
Yes. Like, here's the actual process, because it was a grind, man. I was going to so many practitioners. I was working with so many people. I was taking so many courses, and that took me years. It took me like 4 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, I was doing that as my full-time job.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't there just one course that can show me all of this? And that's what I built. So I actually like, I mean, I don't hate to say it because I think it's true, but it's like, I actually would say, take that course.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes.
Because like, it gives the foundation.
Yes. It's like when you get an ADHD diagnosis, no one tells you, and these are all the things that go along with it. There are health aspects, there are eating issues, nutrition issues, you know, like there are so many things. And that's why I like your work and what you're saying, because you do kind of put it all together.
Yeah. And I think that's another one of my gifts is like, I am able to compile all the disparate information, because I find it so deeply frustrating that it's not made more simple. And in the past, I'm less so now, but in the past, I was also very impatient. And I was like, I don't want to take like 20, 30, everyone's telling me personal transformation and spiritual evolution is going to take me 20, 30 years. And I don't believe that it should take that long. I feel like if I had the right tools, it would go much faster. And so for some reason, that was the mission that was dropped into me. I was like hell bent on finding the fastest, most effective tools. And by that, I mean, like, it moves the needle the most.
Yeah.
I could go to, you know, like an ayahuasca, I could ayahuasca journey like twice a month for like 3 years and go to therapy. And then like 3 to 5 years, you know, I'd be at level 10. Or I could create these subconscious reprogramming tools that I have, use them every day, and then in 6 months be at level 10. And I was like, I just don't believe that it has to be this slow and arduous and tedious and confusing.
And that is a gift. I will say, not everyone could do that, obviously, you know, like that is why you do what you do. If I tried to do that, I would just be sitting at the computer all day long looking at the screen being like, but okay, what's going to come second? Should that come third or should it come second?
Yeah.
You have surprised me with this conversation because we really haven't talked about this topic in years. And I still have that yearning for, I have now realized it's more of a yearning for like a coven, a group.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I do group workshop.
Yes. Right.
So that you can feel that. Cause again, I do group courses where everyone runs through the course together because it was so, and this is probably what you're feeling, it's so lonely to do this by yourself.
It is. Yes. Yes. It's lonely. And you're like, if you're like me, you're thinking, am I doing this right? I don't feel like I'm doing it right.
Yeah. Well, and the majority of people I work with have that. They come in and they're like the analysis paralysis. And that was me too. And yeah, it's interesting because I feel like I built my courses for me, you know, for like the version of me that was really struggling with nervous system dysregulation and neurodivergence as well. And feeling like low grade anxiety all the time, just like constant thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking.
Yeah.
There was this thing that I did. And I've since, hopefully, I'm hesitant to say 100%, but I've hopefully 100% worked my way out of it. Maybe I'm like 99%, where I was looking for that spiritual teacher and there was an idolization that was going on, where I was giving away my power to that teacher and sort of doing this thing. It was like kind of energetic, so it's hard to describe, but it was kind of this sense of like, you know more than me, you can lead me. So I'm going to completely just ignore my feelings and my intuition and outsource my power to you and trust what you're saying. And it's a fine line when there is a like teacher, student, coach, client dynamic, because you do in a way want to reflect on what they're saying. Like that's the value of having a mirror. And you want to go into those dynamics really open-hearted and be like, okay, you're telling me I'm doing this. You're telling me I'm telling myself a story. So I need to sit in that. That's what this dynamic is. But then there also comes a time where you have to ask yourself, but at the end of the day, do I trust myself and my intuition the most? And if what someone is telling me feels wrong in my body, can I trust myself over them? And that was a really big learning for me in that particular dynamic that we were talking about in 2018, because I was outsourcing my power to her a lot. And that's why it was such a painful experience for me, because it was like, after I left that dynamic, I did a whole lot of reading about cults and about like, not, I'm not saying she was a cult, but there were cult-like tendencies in that dynamic.
Yeah.
And I noticed how quick, like when someone can get you so many gains so fast, there's like a tendency to want to just give all your power away to them. And this is exactly what cults do. They get you really big wins really fast. You feel really good really fast. And then you tend to just completely give your power away to them. And that's where things get really sticky and icky. Like if you listen to any of these cult documentaries, all of these people will tell you it was amazing in the beginning. Like they're not fucking idiots. It's a feeling of just like, oh my gosh, this person is liberating me because they're so helpful. They're pointing out where I can unlock my potential. But then in cult dynamics, like then they will start emotionally, psychologically manipulating you. And if you don't have a very firm connection to your intuition and who you are authentically, you can get very lost in that. And it was actually from that dynamic that I was like, okay, this dynamic felt so bad to me, felt so toxic. I want to do everything in my power to not be like that. So I started studying cults and I started like just to figure out like, what is it that happened here where I lost my power? Like what was sticky about this? How can I make sure that I hold on to my power in the future with teachers, but also that when I have students and clients that I can help them find their power. And so the thing that I tell all my students and my clients is like, okay, I'm going to give you feedback, but always cross-reference this with your intuition. Like I always guide them back to them.
I love that.
Like I would never tell a client like, you need to do this. Like I challenge them all the time, but I'm like, always check in with your, and then I teach them how to check in with their intuition. So they feel like my students and clients, after they've worked with me for a few years, they leave feeling like they're the ones in power, not yeah. like, oh, I only have power when I work with Stephanie.
Yes.
And I think that's the important distinction. And maybe what I was partially speaking to in 2018, where I was like, hey, you don't need a teacher, because at that time I had a toxic teacher. So maybe I was like partially speaking to like, no, don't do that. But there's a difference. And I feel like making that distinction and knowing that distinction before you enter into like a coaching dynamic or a group dynamic or whatever it may be is really good.
I love that. Building on that, I wrote down when I was thinking about this, a teacher, a spiritual teacher, is not only a seer into our blind spots, but creates a safe space or container for us to see those things.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, if someone's telling you you shouldn't trust yourself, you should run in the other direction.
Right. And a lot of times they won't say that outright. I mean, some of them will. I mean, yeah. And this is like the tricky thing, because what does trusting yourself mean? Because a lot of times when people aren't yet deeply connected to their true selves, their authenticity, and their intuition, what they're actually trusting is the lies and their patterns, and they're trusting their defense mechanisms. And so there is a bit of a time here where they have to reconfigure, who am I without all of these lies I'm telling myself and my overthinking and the analysis paralysis, like who's deeper and what does my intuition feel like and sound like? And that's why I teach intuition, you know, and like why intuition is so critical, because I want people to establish a sense of, okay, when I say trust myself, what does that mean? Right? Because a lot of times if people haven't done a lot of work, here's an example. A lot of people, when they start working with me, they'll tell me, well, my intuition told me this. And then when I really dig into like, how do you know that was your intuition? It was not their intuition. It was urgency. So it was like, for instance, they were in an argument with someone and they felt anxious about the fact that they were in an argument. And so they'll go and try and work it out with the person before they've done like any kind of processing. And I'll be like, well, how did you know that was the right time to go to that person? I'll be like, my intuition told me. And then when we dig deeper, it's like, no, your fear response told you, your panic response, your urgency told you.
Yeah.
So intuition doesn't generally present as a panic or urgency. It's much quieter, right? What would you say?
It's not fear-based.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you have to do this
or else, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people, they'll think their charged emotion is their intuition. So there is like a process at the beginning. And this is why it's like, this is why it's a hard subject and it can be confusing at first, where there's a relearning of who am I really and what is my intuition? Because it's not that charged emotion, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes you need to talk it through with someone to be able to process it.
What do you mean by processing what?
Processing, like you were saying, with the argument. So there are people who need to actually talk through what the argument was about to be able to process what their actual emotion was or what they felt about it.
I don't know that I agree with that, because arguments are rarely about what you're arguing about.
Yeah.
They're, I would say, pretty much 100% of the time about other things going on inside of you, other triggers. And so I'm not saying that you can't work it out by talking it out and that you can't discover, like, if you and the other person are in a calm place and you can go and you can be like, whoa, yeah, I was really triggered. Like, let's talk out what happened. I'm not saying that doesn't work.
Oh yeah. I meant talking about it with someone else, like a guide. Yeah. Sorry. I was not clear there.
Yes. Or, I mean, I have specific tools like Trigger Free.
Yes, exactly.
That I've created so that you can do it on your own. But yes, for sure. Well, yeah, I would say if you're new to this work, it's going to almost be impossible for you to figure out what happened.
Exactly. And that's where it's kind of like a teacher really is needed in so many ways that people don't even think of.
Yeah. And then going to the second part of what you asked initially of like when to move on, I think in working with my clients, I've watched them go through so many different transformative journeys. And then I've tried to see like what they need next, like what would be the next thing. And then that's inevitably what I end up building the next course on. Because I have so many courses, I now have a lot of students that will go from one course to the next, or they'll do that and then like one-on-one coaching. But there's of course a lot of things I don't offer. Like I don't offer body work. Right now I'm not offering relationship stuff where like two partners would sit down and we would work with them together. I'm not offering that at this time. So it's like feeling into, okay, when have I, and this is obviously not just with me, but with any teacher or mentor or coach or whoever you're working with, when does it feel like the work just stalls, where it's like, I don't feel like I'm expanding anymore?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the main thing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. When you're at that plateau and you're like, maybe not even realizing it yet, but there's a yearning inside of you for something more.
And a lot of times I've found that means it's either time for a totally different journey or different tools, different methods.
A pivot.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last thing I wanted to bring up with teachers is I think a lot of people have a preconceived notion that if you go out and find a teacher, that teacher is going to teach you and take you on. Now, I know that with you, you are selective about who you work with. How do you discern who's right for you and who's not? And how does someone deal with being rejected, I guess?
From a teacher.
From a teacher, yeah.
I would say, first of all, at least at this juncture in my business, most of the people that are attracted to working with me are a good fit because they're already feeling a resonance with, I have a lot of content out there. So like I have the podcast, I have free courses, you know, I have my social media account. So like usually there's already been some sort of a vibe that we're resonating at. So most people are a good fit. But for me, like right now I do coaching, but at a super high level. So it's like people that have already done a lot of work,
right?
Have already done maybe a lot of therapy or taken maybe more than one of my courses. So for me, there has to be essentially just a resonance where it's, you know, just like I was saying, how when you're looking for a teacher, you want it to feel good and you want there to be trust. I, as a teacher, have to feel the same with a client or a student, especially if it's a more intimate container where I'm working one-on-one with them or a smaller group setting. There needs to be some level of like, okay, this person's going to come in. They're going to respect everybody else in the group. They're going to respect the boundaries that I set, kind of the rules that I set. They're going to follow the guidelines. They're going to respect me and my time. There's kind of like a vibe, a trust between us. I'm never interested in working with someone that doesn't trust me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't know why they'd be reaching out to me if they didn't, but I think that if for some reason a teacher were to say, I can't, my practice is full, or I don't know that you're a good fit. Because that's the other thing. I do interviews for some of my courses. And the reason I do the interviews is just to make sure I can solve your problem.
Yeah. Because you don't want to fake it either.
Well, I wouldn't fake it, but I don't want to waste anyone's time. And I want people that work with me to have success. And if I don't think I can solve your problem, or I think you need maybe additional help, like a lot of my clients, I'm like, hey, you need to go see a trauma-informed therapist. I don't do that, right? But I would just trust. I mean, rejection is the universe's protection. If there's a reason why a teacher can't work with you or can't solve your problem, doesn't want to work with you, it's for a good reason. It's like the vibe is off, or there's something about the dynamic that's not right, or they can't solve your problem.
I mean, that makes sense. And out of integrity, it goes both ways. If you didn't think you're going to help someone, you would let them know that. And that in turn is what makes you a good teacher.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of clients tell me like they really have so much trust in me. And I think that I value that so much. Like I don't tell white lies.
Yeah.
In my life. Like I don't know how to do that.
Oh girl, I do.
Like, but it's just, there's something in me. I feel so terrible in my body, even by the smallest little lie. I don't tell lies. I'm in such integrity. And if I am even slightly out of integrity, I feel that like so much that I usually remedy it immediately. And that's one of the things that's super important to me, but it's also why I think my clients value me so much. I would never advise a client to work with me or anybody if I didn't think it was the right thing for them.
You're not just trying to make a buck.
I fuck no. Especially the kind of courses that I do, which are intensive and there's so much transformation that happens. I would never want someone in my containers that either I don't think I can help or that I just was trying to sell. Like I tell people this all the time when I do these interviews, I don't hard sell.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm not interested in that. Like there needs to be a vibe here. You need to trust me. You need to feel like this is right for you for us to move forward. And you know, honestly, Morgan, probably a lot of that. I mean, I've always been like that. I was like that in dentistry. I was like in so much integrity. You know, I've always had a hard time lying. Not always, but I would say like since my 30s. But I think something that makes it even more important to me is because I had that really terrible experience in 2018 with that coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best things that has ever happened to me because it has informed so much about the way I coach. It makes me so much more loving to my clients and students.
Yeah.
If occasionally I get triggered by something a client or student does, I process it immediately. I don't project onto them. I don't ever have a competitive energy with my clients or students. I don't ever have like a tug of war, like we're in some sort of a power struggle energy. And all of that I learned from that one experience of having a coach that was not contained, not great at handling my particular, what I needed.
Yeah.
Not giving me love and honestly, even just a modicum of respect at the end. And I mean, and you told me this at the time, you were like, you're going to look back and be like, this was such a good experience. And at the time I was so devastated. And I was like,
you're like, don't say that.
I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. There's no way. And I do now. It helped me so much. Like it's made me such a better coach and teacher and facilitator, all the things.
Yeah. I mean, I look back on it and I think about it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Even being the outsider, just witnessing the ways that it made you feel.
Yeah.
It was like intentionally trying to take away your confidence.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so what it did. It stripped me, man.
Yeah. It really made me look at it and be like, okay, that is not what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, that contrast.
Yeah. It gave me a feeling in my body. And it was like, okay, if I ever feel that, I felt what you were feeling.
Right.
And if I ever feel that, I know it's not for me.
Yeah. And that's a great signpost or like red flag, I guess, too, for anyone listening is like, if whoever I'm working with that I'm putting in some sort of a, like they know more than me. And this can be a boss too, right? Or mentor, yeah. Like in your job. Like, it's yes. Like, cause I had, of course, I had so many bosses and mentors in my past career that did this to me too. That would just really like stripped me of confidence and didn't see my potential and didn't, I mean, again, going back to the last episode, that was a pattern of mine of
yes.
Not to be with people that wanted me to shine. But like, yeah, if you feel that in your body, like, you know what, this person doesn't celebrate my successes and they don't want me to lean into my gifts and they don't want me to share my gifts with other people and they're cutting me off. They're not letting me speak. They're not letting me share with them how I'm feeling, like all those things, or they're mocking me or belittling me or.
But then sometimes treating you like you're gold.
Yes. Yes. It can, that's why it's, and that's how people get stuck in cults.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, I have learned a lot and I am glad that we are not back in 2018.
I mean, it feels like 30 years ago to me.
Yeah. It feels like a long time ago.